It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Into the 4 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company. Stadium Swim is the site. I also want to say hi to our folks. Of course, this is at Circle Las Vegas. I want to say hi to the folks at Legends Bay in Sparks in the Northern Nevada area, in the Reno area. And, of course, Reno's on board. Vegas is here. ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno. And just so you know, we're going to be every Thursday moving forward. Stadium Swim, Circle Las Vegas. It's all the sports you want on that 143-foot screen at the best pool slash, I call it a venue. It really is. It's like a freaking massive sports book. You can take advantage of the next level perks like a day bed or a cabana. You just got to go to CircleLasVegas.com and book your spot. We'll be here every Thursday. Party with us. Real good crowd here. We're actually going to have Swede on a little later, Damon, who's very much an expert on the Circa property. He'll be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. And I was thinking of something earlier, but I don't think it works with water. Can you confirm this for me? Can you build a plastic? I think it's powered. I feel like when you're coming from the lower levels and you're just, you know, you're far along, man, an escalator would be nice. But I don't think you can do that with dripping water. I saw a young lady walking up and I was like, she had that gleam in her eye. That glassy-eyed look, like she'd had a real good time today. and she was kind of being supported by her SO. So I've been in that position before where I'm like, okay, let's try to make it somewhere. Let's not fall.
I hate being in that position. Because if when you're in that position, you're never having as much fun as the other person.
you're a caretaker, yep. Oh, you're never having fun. Of course, you're not having as much fun as the person that you're helping. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborne Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
I'm not real happy that the Jets have Aaron Rodgers. He's become a pain in the ass, and I wish he would just shut it down with the spoken word for a couple of months. But I will tell you this. I'm happy that my New York Jets have a quarterback in place, have a good backup, because for you folks out there who have a weird quarterback situation, I can't have Tom Brady tease me and break my heart over and over and over again, first with all the winning, and then second when you don't have a quarterback and you're like, old man Tom may do it, man. What's the latest with Brady? Because last week he had some weird conversation where he basically did not deny that he could come back. Now what?
Last week, like you said, Steve, I could still come back. You know, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Pats. This week, he's posting shirtless workout videos, him running, Steve, him getting in some heavy sprints. So I think he's just letting everybody know Tommy's still got it. How did he look? He looked amazing.
This is ridiculous.
You know what I mean? So many times when it comes to athletes where they say, ah, man, like the boredom of being retired or you're just looking for something to do. Tom Brady, I don't even know if he misses football as much as he misses the attention. He didn't post a video of him throwing. No, just him running shirtless. He misses the attention of people. Hey, that's Tom Brady. So that's what he's breadcrumbing us. He's breadcrumbing us, Steve.
That is very interesting. Again, explain breadcrumbing. It's talking to a potential dating target and getting a lot of information out of him or her, and then in the end it just goes nowhere. They just kind of ghost you,
leading you on. Oh, I'm sorry, I know we were supposed to go out on Thursday night, I'm busy, how about next Thursday? And that's Tom Brady when it comes to coming back for football. He's just leading us along.
He's Tom Brady is breadcrumbing us just so that he can feel himself.
Yes, posting these thirst traps. He wants
mean old man. He's posting thirst traps. Okay.
He wants everybody to say, ooh, is Tommy coming back? Brady looks good. Better than my starting quarterback. Oh, he's loving it.
Number three.
Yesterday I had Bobby Kraft's back and the whole thing with Belichick where apparently the Patriots owner called down to the Atlanta folks and they're like, he's a bum. Stubborn, untrustworthy, mean. Don't hire him. Bad choice. The Belichickians are starting to come out, those who are devoted to Bill. You're kind of a Belichickian.
Yes,
you,
I am.
You pushed back yesterday and said, old man Kraft, little weak.
Yes, the ultimate weak sauce to go and run and complain. And I'm just going to say snitch on Bill Belichick because he wasn't nice to you inside the building. Don't hire him. Ruining another man's blessings. Come on, Steve. That's weak sauce.
Well, as I was kind of hinting at yesterday, I hope being mean isn't the deciding factor. Being kind of hard charging, maybe not that communicative, isn't the determining factor if some other people I know are looking for jobs. You know what I mean? But yeah. I think it is a big one. And when people look for a reference and you put it down or you didn't, if you were a jerk to people, we see what can happen to a guy like Belichick. Mike Lombardi, who's working at VSiN, a former executive with the Browns and the Patriots, I knew he would come out and say, hey, this is just completely absurd. He said, wonder why the Falcons didn't have the greatest coach of all time as a top three candidate, Rich McKay. He's always had Arthur Blank's ear, and from the start, McKay had no interest in hiring Belichick. So, you know, I was never around Lombardi and Belichick. There are relationships where there's going to be certain devotees around someone who's maybe kind of stern and isn't real nice to people. It just vibes with certain people, right, Damon? And with others, it doesn't work. So I don't know why Lombardi was able to deal with Belichick. Maybe Belichick. And Belichick would be one of those guys, hey, I've got a circle, like 15 people I like. I talk to them. I treat them with respect. The rest of you, screw off. And I'm guessing Lombardi's one of those guys. Number two.
Number two.
There was a weird moment on the show yesterday. Maybe this is a little too deep divey, but I was talking about TCU now becoming a hotspot for athletes. And I know what one of the Cavender twins left TCU, or did she go to TCU? First of all, I don't know how she has any eligibility left.
See, this is how she has eligibility left, Steve.
Right.
She went there this past season and sat out a year.
Oh.
And now that Haley Van Lith and another player from Kentucky are coming over to TCU, she says, oh, me and my sister, we decided to go back to Miami. So I'm on the TCU side. I don't know how much NIL money they have to spend, but that Cavender twin, I want our money back.
Ooh,
you're not just going to come to our school and sit out for the year and just jet back to Miami? I don't know what the rules are. File an injunction.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a Justin Watkins topic because he's all over the NIL, so we'll find out what happens. I never thought of that. When someone sits out and they are they getting their NIL even though they're not playing? Like, what happens to it if they just decide to bail? It's become a complicated world. You mentioned HVL, who was with Louisville, went to LSU in a much smaller role, didn't really achieve, I'm sure, what she wanted, which is let me go to a loaded team and win a national championship. They fell short, and now she's landed in Fort Worth, you know, / Dallas at TCU. Are you fired up for that?
No, I think it's if we're going to talk about women athletes the same way we do the males, I'm laughing at her. You played yourself. Whoa. Congratulations.
That feels toxic to me.
Sorry.
I think you better be careful.
Congratulations, Haley Van Lith. You played yourself. You thought you were going to leave Louisville. You had a good situation there. You could have been the star. Probably could have averaged 25 points on your senior year. Got drafted into the league. But no, you were chasing that ring on a team that didn't need you, and it seemed like you weren't a good fit, and Caitlin Clark ate you alive, that you became a meme because you just didn't know what to do on defense. Also, Kim Mulkey, don't leave your players in that position. Haley Van Lith is a meme because of you, because she couldn't do nothing and you didn't make any adjustments. But now, I'm laughing at her. Now you're going to TCU? Mm.
Number one.
One, am I allowed to talk about Deion Sanders anymore and taken as objective, judged as being objective? Because I think I am. And I bash on him a lot, but I think I have solid reasons behind it. I didn't let you answer the question. Do you believe in my objectivity on Prime?
I don't.
Is it the bets we made?
Yes, it's the bets, and there was just a little too much glee when they would lose.
Well, I had a bet. I had a bet.
The way you were texting me the night when they were going in the triple overtime, you, when they were playing Colorado State.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. You kept receipts. I just think the way he's doing it is so wrong on so many levels. And so many people bought into, like, he was going to be this revolutionary new brand of college football coach. The problem is, I don't think he's putting in the work. And the portal just opened, and there's upwards of – I haven't checked today. Yesterday, the number got to 15 players in the portal. I don't believe that all of them were told to get the hell out. They had 11 scholarship openings. going into the spring. Now they have 15 players out. A lot of these guys are going to land at schools that are actually more accomplished on the football front. I don't know what he's doing. And I'll tell you, this is what really bothers me. The way he talks about the kids, I think, is in a very uncaring, sort of vicious fashion. Again, we're going to test my objectivity here, and you can judge. This is him talking about a player who is leaving in Cormani McClain, and I think he takes a shot at him, and I don't like that.
I'm always in prayer for our young men, and I want the best for them. And I pray to God that he goes to a program that challenges him as well as hold him accountable and develop him as a young man. Unfortunately, we weren't the program that can accomplish that. So prayerfully that he understands that this is the second go-round and get it. Go get it, man, because he has a tremendous amount of talent, but he has to want it.
Right, I want to ask you about Cormani, Coach.
Right there at the end. Right there at the end. Not the guy asking the question. Right there at the end. Basically questioning the dude's work ethic. That's acceptable?
Yes. It also sounds like he didn't like being held accountable. If you want to, you know,
so why is that the public's business? Tell that to other coaches. Why smear him in public?
Because Deion's getting smeared in public. Because
so now he's got to explain that it ain't me. That kid didn't want to work.
Yes, it's not an excuse. It's the truth.
That's weak. You're the adult. You're getting paid millions. You keep that. If you believe he's got dirty laundry or negatives, voice it to other coaches. So here's the problem. You have all these players going into the portal. I don't know how they're going to make up in terms of depth, and that was a problem last year, especially with the big fella positions. We heard last month, and we played the audio for you, Deion saying himself he won't do in-home visits. One, I think he was fibbing, honestly, to cover the fact that he just doesn't want to do them. One, he said, well, you know, I'm trying to save the school money. Two, if I do an in-home visit, you know, in whatever, you know, Orlando or something, I'm going to have to do it multiple times. Like, what? So that, to me, suggests you're not putting the work in. And then I saw something the other day. And now I'm blanking on the younger
Shiloh.
Shiloh had something up on Twitter saying, for transfer portal interest, defensive players DM me, offensive players DM Shador.
Yes, that's exactly
now,
what
now his
says.
Sons are handling the portal interest?
But
they're
also,
the front gate? What are we doing?
In smaller letters down at the bottom, this is not last chance you.
Now we're being picky. Why are his kids the freaking initial contact? What is this?
It's got to be fake. I don't believe it's fake. I believe it's real. But it's one of those things that's so funny, it has to be fake. Defensive transfer, DM me. Offensive transfers, DM Shador. Don't run from the grind. Come to Colorado.
By the way, our bet, which was a two-year win total starting this year, I have Arizona and you have Colorado, does not end if either coach goes bye-bye. Which for you might be an advantage if they bring someone in new after this year or he bails.
He's there for the long haul, Steve. Don't you worry.
I was making this bet on their former coach who went to Washington. I'm the one who got jobbed, and I feel stronger than ever based on what Deion is doing. I can't wait to see how he puts together a team here over the next couple of months. This is weird. Way to change college football, Prime.
The things that matter to me are dudes that are consistent and they got relentless effort. Dudes that are curious and continuously are looking to find ways to improve. That's the dudes I look at. I don't give a if you went to Alaska State Technical Institute or Nebraska or LSU, you know what I mean? None of that matters. Yeah, at the end of the day, I want dudes who love this and you can't fake it. And so that's the guys I'm looking for. You know, guys like Fisk from Florida State. I watch a dude like him. He's a dog. Latu, I like from UCLA, young kid. There's not many of them out there. So that's what I look for when I'm watching film. I don't give a if you can rush, got ability, whatever. The first thing I'm looking at is, are they flying to the ball? Not just running to the ball, but flying to the ball, putting their body on the line, and all the rest of the stuff, you clean it up on the way. But I think it just starts with effort and consistency.
Former Oakland Raider and NFL insider Stanford Rout joins Cofield and Company now.
I will get into what Max Crosby was saying with Stanford Rout in just a second. We may play that again. DeMond? You look like you were going to say something. We're still efforting, correct? That sounds correct. I'll do a giveaway right now. We got some cool stuff. Four-pack of tickets. Final game of the season for your Las Vegas Desert Dogs Professional Axe. Game on Saturday. Mick Ultra Arena at the MUA. You can grab your tickets at LasVegasDesertDogs.com or AXS.com. It's also Pediatric Cancer Night, where proceeds will go to help fight childhood cancer. Again, Mick Ultra Arena this Saturday, lacrosse, four-pack, AXS.com or LasVegasDesertDogs.com, 364-1100, caller number 7. So I wonder what Max Crosby was saying, or if what Max Crosby was saying can always mesh with what organizations and their personnel people want, because that sounds great on the surface. Relentless effort, have a dog in him. He mentioned a couple of prospects, but what happens when you have to factor in size? And it's a great limiter. Can effort always overcome the lack of measurables? Also, I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, but he was sort of flippant in the fact that he said, you know, if you have that stuff, the dog, relentless effort, consistency, good mindset, we can clean up the other stuff. I don't know if you can. I still think you have to have the prerequisite of size. Stanford Rout is with us here on this Thursday. Stanford, we just played Max Crosby talking about what he looks at on tape, and he was looking at defensive linemen, and he talked about, you know, didn't necessarily care that much about technique. It's the fight in the dog. You can just clean it up when they get to you. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I definitely understand what it means. You know, defense, so much of being a great defensive player or just having a good defensive team on your roster is really just want to. It's desire. So okay. I definitely understand what he means, that that guy has to have that motor. He has to have that dog in him. And everything else, we can go ahead. We can clean that up. We can shore up your technique. We can help you go ahead and fine-tune some things. But you can't teach. You can't coach somebody having that dog or having that relentless motor.
Yeah, he also talked about what motivates him. And you know, he mentioned, and it's easy to say this, but a lot of people can't do it, the relentless pursuit of greatness. And he said he pointed again back to his life off the field and getting sober. Just the simple fact that you're not recovering in the morning from something the night before, you can get right to work. And isn't that the ultimate challenge for, well, you know, most athletes to reach the highest level, is to reduce all those distractions and be solely focused on one thing?
Oh, yeah, that definitely plays a big part in it. You always want to be able to try to fight the temptations, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it is always being at the club or the bar or just things like that, or just simply paying attention to outside forces or outside factors that will deter you from reaching your full potential on the football field. So, yeah, that's definitely something that young players, usually it's more younger than it is older, that's something that they definitely have to try to make sure that they fight off, because it can definitely deter your career from reaching the heights of your true potential.
Stanford Rout's with us, former Raider, went to Houston, coached recently at Houston. How often, as a guy who's helping out the cornerbacks, or how quickly could you make a read on someone, in terms of going back to the beginning of the conversation, sort of the relentless hunger versus their raw ability? You know, just... it's a tough call, right? I mean, do you write a kid off? Like, how do you judge it? Like, hey, this kid is going to have it. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the fight. The technique's not going to be there. It's tough.
Well, for me, one thing I look at is just the overall athleticism. Are they twitchy? Do they have the swift hips and things like that? And then everything else, I feel that you can go ahead and put him in position to be successful. But definitely, to your point, he has to have good ball skills. He has to want it. He has to have the right type of mindset to be playing on the defensive side of the ball, where your receiver knows where he's going. You don't. So if you just go off the schematics of it, you're going to always be a step late if you're matching him step for step. You have to be able to anticipate what the offense is trying to do to you. Anticipate what their receiver is trying to do to you. You see some of the interceptions last year by Jack Jones against the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs on a Monday, Christmas Day, things like that. That's anticipating what the offense is trying to do to you. So it's a myriad of things that go into it, but you definitely want to have somebody that has the mental and the physical tools to go ahead and match out there on the football field.
What a good example, right? Like, Jack Jones has everything he needs, but maybe the mental part off the field needs to be cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously nobody comes into this league as a perfect prospect. Everybody has some version of a weakness or an area where they have room for improvement. So, you know, I think for a lot of guys, especially for GMs, if you have the athleticism, if you have the ability, they feel that they put you in the right situation. They put you with the right player development rep. They put you with good veterans, a good locker room that can help raise you and teach you how to be a professional. They're more lenient on you not being there mentally than they are you lacking physical ability. Let's say you run a 4.7. Well, you definitely can't play corner running a 4.7 40. But if you're somebody that you lacking a little bit of maturity, that's something that we can bring that along. We can go ahead and help you get that versus trying to make you a better athlete.
Sanford Rout is with us, former NFL player, Raiders, Chiefs. Let's talk about the NFL draft from this standpoint, that process that doesn't have much to do with your physical skills, and it's the interview of sorts. I thought it was really interesting that Jaden Daniels is having dinner with the Vikings. And I feel like from Camp Caleb Williams, they were like, yeah, we're not wasting our time with nonsense. What do you think of a team with the 11th and 23rd pick being granted a dinner with Jaden Daniels?
I mean, everybody wants to do their due diligence because right. At the end of the day, we all remember back in 2005, we saw how Alex Smith was the number one overall pick, and we saw how Aaron Rodgers fell all the way to pick number 24 of my draft class. So maybe, just maybe, Jaden Daniels may fall in the draft. Who knows? Obviously, we're not expecting him to be there past pick number 3 at the worst, because you got the Commanders picking number 2, the Patriots picking number 3, but stranger things have happened within the NFL draft. So teams want to make sure that they have all of their due diligence, all of their notes, be prepared for if somebody does fall in your lap when you have the next pick and they're available. Are we going to be able to go ahead, pull the trigger, make that pick? Are we going to be scrambling during those 10 minutes of, okay, did we go ahead and verify all of his character issues? Do we verify whether he's a good leader and things like that? They want to be able to sit there calmly, or as calm as they can be within those 10 minutes of the war room, and be able to confidently make that pick and not feel like they left a stone unturned.
I've been told by college coaches that for them, the dinner with a prospect recruiting, that was one of the more important things in the process, because the family will be there, so you get to see the interaction with the family, how the kid treats his family, what the family is like. Also, it's a good test of your decorum in public, how you treat the servers. Am I overdoing it here? Was that coach overdoing it? I actually think it's a really good test area to see the character of someone.
Yeah, it really does, to see exactly how they treat the people that can do nothing for them, proverbially.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely something that teams want to make sure. They want to see what type of person you are. I can look at the film and see what type of player you are. I want to see the person. I want to see your mindset. I want to see your level of respect, like what you just said, for the server, for people in your family, things like that. How do you interact? Are you a jackhole? Are you somebody that's very rude? Are you asinine? And yeah. Things like that. And yeah. That's something that you will not be able to see in just a simple interview. But if you watch somebody from a distance, see how they interact with everybody in their circle, everybody just within the environment, you can get a very, very good depiction on everything that their character brings to the table.
Now, for the Vegas audience, I was setting us all up to give you my theory on what's happening with Jaden Daniels and teams involved. Don't go crazy on what GMs say about the draft, but the folks that run the Patriots, Elliott Wolf, did mention that their picks, not that they're up for grabs, but they could be available. I've thought all along that the Patriots would not take a quarterback at 3, and this seems ripe to me. The Vikings are visiting with Jaden Daniels. The Patriots could trade back maybe get a player, but they'll get a couple of picks in the first and probably a future first, if not more. Does that sound like a match to you that, hey, the Vikings are doing their work and they're like, we want Jaden Daniels, we're ready to go up to three and we'll give the Pats the mother load to trade down?
I mean, it definitely seems like it's something that could be within the works, just because right now on the roster, you clearly see Kirk Cousins is now in Atlanta. And then they signed Sam Darnold on, I believe, a one-year deal. So even with him being a bridge quarterback, they're not looking at him being the long-term answer, at least as of right now. So for KLC, for Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, to want to go ahead and reach up, or should I say trade up, to get his quarterback of the future for the next several to 5 to 10 years, that's something that's definitely within the realm of possibility. And we know for the New England Patriots, maybe they're looking at Jaden Daniels. Maybe they're looking at a Drake May. Maybe they're looking at a J.J. McCarthy, right, and they don't feel that these guys are the next heir apparent for Mac Jones and Tom Brady. So that's something that trading down, trading out of that pick, getting the best player available, that's something that they definitely have done in recent memory. And we all know that the last time the Patriots made a top 10 pick, it was with the head coach they have right now, a Gerard Mayo, I believe in 2010 or 2008, one of those years.
Stanford, we appreciate it. We're up against it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
You guys be good, man. Talk to you soon next week.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Damon, what do you think about what Max Crosby was talking about with the we can clean it up as long as they've got effort and hunger, we're good?
It's easier said than done, and he's speaking from experience about himself, but I think it's one of those easy-for-you-to-say type of moments.
That's the problem. This is kind of the old notion that great players can't be head coaches or managers, you know, baseball, because sometimes they just don't understand why it's not easy for others, why it's not as easy. And I'm not saying Crosby's laid it out. He has to work really hard. He's focused. That's why he's great, but he has natural ability. And, you know, sometimes when you're looking at someone, you're like, they just have to work hard. Like, no, they can work as hard as they want. They can never be you, Max, physically. It's not going to happen.
Or some of those players that they did draft, I think that previous Raider drafts, they did draft players thinking, hey, we'll clean it up when they get here. And those guys still didn't pan out.
I also think that could be on the side of what I was saying earlier, the pro measurables, where you bring in guys who are 6'5 and, you know, 290 at the end. And it's like, they just don't have it and they don't want it. And you can't even clean it up. They just can't get it together. I'm not saying that's Tyree Wilson, but he's got to make a big step up this year. So a little follow-up as we're getting ready to do our area of the show that we do, the Eye on Sports Gaming. We're out here, got the odds up on the board at Stadium Swim, Circus Sports inside. We're going to bring in Swede in just a little bit, talk some betting in the 5 o'clock hour. The Jontay Porter thing is not done, according to our buddy BBW, Big Brian Windhorst, who was on McAfee this morning. And that's exactly where he went, as he was kind of outlining the three things that really got Jontay Porter in trouble and suspended for life with the NBA.
Well, I don't think the investigations are over, and even outside the NBA. So, but the NBA got enough to act here. So he did, according to the league, he did at least three things that even, if any one of them would have probably got him banned. One, he obviously appeared to alter his own performance for a bet, which is in this case, he took himself out of a game. So number two, he communicated with gamblers about inside information with the team, which is a huge no-no in the NBA, and these players are told repeatedly about it. Strike three, obviously, wagering on the NBA, and in this case, wagering on his own team. Now,
to lose! Says,
there you go. McAfee at the end. To lose! That's a big one. That's a real big one. What do you think he meant at the beginning? That the investigation is not done with this case and around the case. What is around the case?
Hey, to quote Lester Freeman from The Wire, you follow the money, you don't know where you'll end up. Jontay Porter is the only player that the NBA's caught so far.
I'm glad you said it that way. So far. What's your prediction?
That Jontay Porter is going to remain banned for life and we never hear about this again.
Oh, I thought you were going to go down the path of Jontay Porter had other people involved. Other players involved, that this was not a lone wolf deal.
No, I believe it's a lone wolf deal. If you look at some of his other social medias, content that he puts out there, he's a big brain guy where it comes to me investing in crypto and NFTs. I'm smarter. You know, I got the plays. He was the perfect type of person where it just looks from the content that he put out on social media that thought he could get over because he knows how to handle his finances better than most people.
How incredibly naive did he turn out to be? I mean, to get caught trying to get big money down himself or giving out the information on some of the bets that they were trying to get down on. I mean, that is such a red flag.
The most idiotic thing, this is one of the – how do you not expect to get caught? You just don't care about being in the NBA.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Live here at Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Let's bring in some Mountain West Conference expertise. We had some breaking news out of Boise, which plays well to our spot today. B.J. Raines is up with us here on Cofield & Company. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm jealous. You guys are at Stadium Swim, man. That's my spot.
I figured I'd titillate you a bit there because I know you love it here. And you're going to be down here a bunch of times, I'm assuming, during the summer for different events. We'll get to that in a second. We want to talk football and basketball around Boise in a second. Jace Whiting transferring to UNLV, but... breaking news earlier, what's the latest with, we thought Leon Rice was going to have a pretty loaded squad coming back, but it looks like one of the dudes decided to go into the portal.
Yeah, Chibuzo Abba. I mean, I think Bart Torvik had him as the number four returning player in the Mountain West next year. Entered the portal and apparently he's already receiving some lucrative NIL offers. $500,000 was the number I had heard, which kind of led to him going into the portal. So, it is what it is in college basketball these days. Anybody, you can never, no matter who it is, you can never just assume somebody's coming back, and this is life-changing money for these kids being thrown around. And it's a big blow. He was made 76 three-pointers last year, was their second leading scorer, is a really athletic guy, can defend, can shoot. And so, they were already looking in the portal for a center. They were still trying to do some things, but now they're going to obviously have to turn their attention back to a shooting guard and more of an athletic player. I mean, they brought in Cardenas from San Jose State, but he's more of a point guard. So they got to find a shooter now in the portal because without Max Rice and without Abo, they lose 150 made three-pointers from last year. That's like 70% of their threes. So, they were not expecting that, and that kind of surprised them. But again, in this day and age, college basketball, it's money talks. And so, Leon Rice has a pretty good track record of adding guys in the portal and, even just last year, adding in some of the guys they brought in. So I think they can find somebody, but at least for right now, Boise State fans are pretty disappointed up here.
I'm kind of lost on when the official end of the portal is. Is there a date? Like, when can coaches finally take a freaking breath and be like, I'm not going to lose another guy?
Yeah, I mean, I know the early entry, the next kind of breath for some coaches to take will be next Thursday, I believe. That's the early entrance to the NBA draft deadline is next Thursday. And then I think it's another week or two after that. I think it was like 30 days from the end of the Final Four or something. So I think it's most of the month of April. So there's probably another 2 weeks left or so. I wish I had the exact date on me. But, it's crazy. I mean, you got 2,000 names in the portal or whatever it is already. And guys like Chibuzo Abo, who've already transferred once, and he averages a point or two at Texas Tech. Boise State identifies him, finds him, brings him in 2 years. He's a double-digit scorer, an All-Mountain West type player, and then boom, somebody else jumps in, and the high-level school takes him back. And so, it's crazy. I get it. Fans are, it's harder and harder to be a fan of a college team anymore when these players are leaving and going. It's free agency just like the pros, and for the most part, Boise State hasn't lost really anybody. They lost Talen Green to Arkansas on the football side, the quarterback, but that was kind of like with the way the coaches messed with them last year expected. They really haven't had any just guys leave for bigger schools in the NIL game. They hung on to Ashton Jeanty at least the first time around for a big lucrative offer, the running back, and so this was a big surprise. Nobody saw this coming. Boise State's done a pretty good job culture-wise, city-wise, paying these guys what they can, keeping them to buy into the culture and want to stay, and so this was their first kind of big loss in the portal here the last couple years. And like I said, I don't think there's going to be more. Stanley, I know, is getting hit up. Omar Stanley, the big man's getting hit up by some schools. Degenhart, I'm sure, is getting hit up. But my understanding is both those guys are locked in for next season, and now they just have another hole they have to go out and try to fill.
What up, Boise fans? What do you think? And this is not a direct trade, but the trade of Jace Whiting, point guard, out, Alvaro Cardenas in.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even a comparable. I mean, you know, nothing against Jace Whiting, but you're talking about a sixth, seventh man versus one of the top three or four point guards in the Mountain West last year. I mean, that was a huge one. I mean, it surprised some people because they weren't really sure what it meant for Roddy Anderson. You know, he improved a lot as the season went on. Single-handedly pretty much won them that game at San Diego State, but late in the season. But, you know, is a point guard that maybe doesn't necessarily fit perfectly with Boise State's offense, and he's more of a scorer, and they just tried to, you know, at times put a square peg into a round hole with Roddy Anderson last year. So I still think he has potential and really improved as the season went on. But you can get a guy like Cardenas, who's a 5-plus assist on a bad team, double-digit score, a good three-point shooter. I just think he's going to be a big upgrade for them. And Jace Whiting, is a guy that I was a little surprised he stayed in the Mountain West, to be honest. I thought a lower level, Big Sky, Big West, WCC, something like that, I thought might be where he ended up, closer to home maybe with his family, obviously, in Provo. So I was a little surprised to see him stay in the Mountain West. He, you know, really good locker room kid, solid, you know, backup player, but at times against bigger, you know, more athletic guards, he was just severely overmatched at times and had his shot blocked a lot. I mean, when he was open, when he's wide open, he can knock down a three. I mean, he was almost 50% from three, but again, you're talking on, you know, 40 attempts or whatever it was, so very limited attempts. But the guy can certainly shoot. Okay defender, not great. And then, like I said, not really going to beat a lot of people off the dribble very often. Struggles against size when he gets a big guard on him. So I was a little surprised to see him go to UNLV. Probably not going to play a ton, I wouldn't think, behind Thomas. But I'll be curious to see how that works out there. But if you're just looking at those two, Cardenas for Boise State is going to be a starter and a key player. That was a big swap for them.
BJ Raines is on Cofield & Company. He runs Bronco Nation News. All right, let's get into some stuff around the Mountain West Conference before getting back to Boise specifically on the football side. Media days are going to be here again, and now there's a little combo of sorts. They're not at the same venue, but the Big 12 is going to be here right around the time the Mountain West Conference will be here for football media days, right?
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal. They're going to overlap by one day, so I guess the Mountain West talked to a lot of the national media and stuff, and they said, hey, if we could make this work, would you guys stay an extra day to get all the coaches in the Mountain West? And a lot of them said yes. You know, what media member isn't going to write off another day in Vegas if they can? So they were able to make that happen. The Big 12, the last day of the Big 12 media days will be on the first day of Mountain West while the players are going. And then the second day of Mountain West media days, you'll have all 12 of the head coaches when the national media can come over because the Big 12 will be done. And that's the day they probably would have come anyways to talk to all the coaches. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I know Circa's one of my sponsors, so I am biased, but I've been to 11 Mountain West football media days. I've been to several basketball media days. Went to some Big 12 media days back in the day when I was in college and stuff. And I thought the ones last year were run as well as any media day that I've seen run. I mean, it was absolutely perfect in terms of the size, the venue, the hospitality. I thought media days was just the best I've ever seen at Circa last year. So I'm happy to see it at Circa, but you got guys that aren't 21 that can't go, and I know at least for Boise State, that's a pretty big bummer.
That is kind of a bummer, and you had a suggestion about how they could handle that, but Ashton Genty, who I think is a top five running back in the country, absolutely deserves the attention, not only from Mountain West Conference media, but like you said, there's going to be national people in here, so how do they tackle that challenge with their best player?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the top running backs in the country. He's a guy that's certainly going to be leave early next year and probably be a second or third round draft pick, if not first. I mean, he's a high level college player, probably the preseason Mountain West player of the year, I would assume. And for him to not be 21 and not be eligible to go to Circa is a huge deal. See, I threw out there, and I'm actually like seriously pushing this with Boise State's, you know, sports information department, their head coach, like send him anyway. You're talking a $250 round trip flight on Southwest, like, make that part of the story that he can't get inside the building and do the interviews right outside. I think, you know, Fremont Street, and whether you want to bring down your BSU banner and do it or go to the D or one of their other sister properties and get a room and do it in there. Like, Ashton Genty, like, make that part of the story because, yeah, and that's why basketball media days, my understanding, are not at Circa is because a lot of the basketball coaches voted no because it's a much harder to find two or three basketball players that are 21 to make it possible. Football, you know, you can always find a lineman or somebody that's a key player on a football team that's 21. So I think it's much easier to get a couple guys there. But, yeah, it's a big bummer for Boise State. Ashton Genty is – I mean, they got a Heisman campaign going for him here in Boise with T-shirts and a logo and all kinds of stuff. They're trying to really play that up. And for him to not even be able to be in front of the conference's media when, like I said, I think he's got a good chance of being preseason player of the year, that's a big bummer for Boise State. And like I said, we'll see. But if I were in their shoes, I make that part of the story, and I no doubt bring Ashton Genty down there anyway.
There's so many angles that I wanted to talk to you about, Genty, but you mentioned one of them with the T-shirt. Are the T-shirts free? Were they giving them out at the spring game? Where do you purchase the Ashton Genty, the Genty for Heisman T-shirts?
Yeah, I mean, they're giving away like 1,000 of them or something at the spring game. They gave some away, I think, at the bowl game, and then they're selling them, too, like in the gift shop and all that. And it's just part of the way to get him some NIL money. You know, they have like a joint deal, I guess, where he gets a profit and they get a profit. Yeah, it's got the, you know, word Heisman, and then instead of the S, it's the number 2, you know, for Genty is number 2, and then his signature's on there in his picture. And it's a, you know, clever little thing. And, you know, Boise State really hasn't done a lot of that in the past. I mean, obviously, Kellen Moore was a Heisman finalist way back in the day, but they've had some other star players, and they haven't really done a great job of marketing them. So they're going all out on this one to really try to market him and get him in the mix. And, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, is going to be near the top of all the statistical categories in the country if he can stay healthy. I mean, it's not a, you know, hyperbole, or we're not hyping him up too much. I mean, this guy is a legit NFL running back with just crazy skills. And everybody, a lot of people thought he was going to transfer. So for him to stay and Boise State to come up with an NIL package that was, my understanding, around $300,000 last year to keep him, was a huge win for Boise State. Now they're going to do all they can to market him. But they've got shirts and a logo and all that stuff, and we'll see. But it's a pretty cool deal that they're trying to market him like that, and that's not something they've really done in the past.
I love the NIL creativity. I saw Mike Prater tweet out a sandwich at a place. Is that actually an NIL deal, or did he just name a sandwich after Genty?
I think it is a deal. I think it is good. An NIL deal. He's doing some spots for him, some social media posts and things, and then he gets it's a restaurant literally right, like, you know, you can walk to the restaurant from the stadium. It's right across the street. It's an awesome spot. And yeah, the Ashton Genty sandwich, and I think he does some social media spots for him. They're doing all they can, and that's a pretty cool deal to get a sandwich named after you while you're still playing, and it's a pretty darn good sandwich too.
Good. PJ Raines is with us, Bronco Nation News. Did you get a look at the Big 80 proposals that are out there? And again, I think this is, it's very much recency bias. I thought the regions they put together, 8 divisions of 10. If I were Boise, I'd be a little bit insulted that I have to be in kind of the relegation division. What do you think? Are they more accomplished than some of the Power 5 schools? Like, why is Vandy in? Why is Wazoo in? Why is Kansas in?
Well, I'm a Kansas alum here, so I can certainly talk to you for 20th time about why Kansas is in. Come on now.
Yeah.
I certainly think that you could make a case, and it looks like pretty much, you know, unless I missed one, like every Power 5 school currently is just automatically in, right?
Automatically in, and it looked like the 70 to 80 division is all first and second place teams from group of 5, which I also thought was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and it was like it was some of the who's who of the last like couple years, Tulane and some of these schools that, you know, have just had a couple of decent years here lately. Who votes on this? How do you decide on this? What conference commissioners are going to vote? Obviously, if it's all Power 5s, they want all their teams in, and then what happens with all that? I mean, the concept I kind of like, I do like the fact if that's the way it's going to be, where you want to have, you know, these smaller teams relegated and kicked out and give everybody a chance to move up with a strong year. Like, I don't necessarily like dislike the quote unquote concept. I know the Mountain West, and I guess actually Mike Walsh, the guy that worked at Boise State, came up last year with a Pac-12 Mountain West kind of relegation type plan when all this was happening and involving some other AAC schools and stuff. And so I don't mind that. Like, if you earn your merit, you should be in there. But yeah, I mean, Boise State's got 3. I mean, it just depends what the criteria is. I mean, I know the last couple of years the brand has dipped a little bit. They've struggled. Obviously, haven't been to a BCS bowl game, or won one since 2014. We're going on almost a decade now. But, I mean, they've still got 3 BCS champion, BCS New Year's 6 wins, you know, since 06, you know, in the last 18 years. They've still got a brand. They're still perennial power. I mean, EA Sports picks 15 schools nationally, and they were one of the ones picked to be part of, you know, like, have a major marketing thing for this EA Sports game that's coming out. And they got posters and things all over town. So, I don't know. Yeah, there's no way a Vanderbilt probably deserves to be in, but it's money, and there's a lot more factors involved than just you know, what conference you started in.
BJ, we are up against it. Appreciate your time, and you're a busy guy. Open out of traffic now. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks. Take care.